Fitzmagic, Bortles, Mahomes, oh my. NFL Sunday Night Football Week 2 starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
In honor of David Bloom on the panel, I got the sports gods have answered my prayers, so I play In Bloom by Nirvana. I got David Bloom adjacent to me at the table. What did I do to deserve this?
Oh, they thought I wouldn't be back, did they?
The man, the myth, the legend. What's going on, David Bloom?
They thought I wouldn't be here. It's going excellent. It's week two of the NFL season. How could it not be excellent?
It's better than ever, bro. Like, we got through all the stuff, all the drama, all the controversy, all the news, all the protests, all that stuff, and then we just get down to football.
Oh, we're here. No, we're here. It's football. It's week two, week one. Everyone knows it's kind of like a fluke. All right, week one, players show up when they're not supposed to show up, I guess. You don't really know who's who, and you can't really get a gauge for how the season's going to go. But week two, if a player shows up week one and week two, my man Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Listen, we go. Yo, I'm gonna stop you right there. Listen, first of all, if you don't know me, Evan T. Mack, my man over here, this David Bloom, sports guru, sports aficionado, man. Listen, my better half, brother from another mother. Let's get into it right now. I want to start off with a little bit of news. Josh Gordon, like, they literally just announced it at the top of the top of a mountain. They were like, we're gonna release Josh Gordon. Like, so anybody, any takers, what is your thought process on, and by the way, the headline was coming from Schefter, like, the wide receiver broke the team's trust. So what's your thoughts on Josh Gordon's career as a Brown and Josh Gordon as a whole?
Well, that was such a huge thing, was Josh Gordon being one of the best receivers in the entire NFL, going out with, you know, the suspension for the drug use, and then him coming back was such a huge thing.
Wow.
Like, everyone's like, Josh Gordon's back, he's gonna help the Browns, you know, they got Jarvis Landry, Juice, they got him back. Tyrod, Baker, Carlos Hyde, this team's going to be good. And then just cut him out of nowhere. Shocked me.
So it had to be something.
It had to be something internal. It's got to be something you probably can watch Hard Knocks and find out.
When you say broke the team's trust, it is something that he did not divulge to them, that they found out about, that might come out later.
It had to be something that was not football related, because the way he was playing, he was catching touchdown passes.
Oh, that's Josh Gordon. Like you said,
he's a great receiver.
He's like a bigger, stronger, faster Odell. But Odell can stay on the field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but so okay, let's get to. It's not all bad for Josh Gordon. He still is Josh Gordon. He's still like 5 years old. He's still young. Somehow.
Oh, yeah, no, he's been in the league forever, but he's still young.
Okay, so we're putting the feelers out there. I seen his tweet. He's thinking about he wants the 49ers or the Cowboys. How amazing would it be for him to be on the Cowboys?
If he was on the Cowboys, that would give them, because they don't have a lot of weapons there. They don't have a lot, and we'll get into tonight's game, but they don't have a lot of weapons at the wide receiver. They got guys like, you know, Tavon Austin, who Michael Gallup,
yes.
Cole Beasley, Allen Hurd. Like, it's not enough.
Right.
And you can't just take the entire offense and put it on Dak with no weapons and Zeke. That's not going to do it. So to have him in Dallas, that would be amazing. Or to have him up north.
So if you were Jerry Jones, if you're Stephen Jones, do you what would you do to get Josh Gordon? What would you give up?
Give up? Well, I think at this point you just got to kind of pile the money together and make a case. Because I don't think there's anyone important. I mean, if you want to get rid of a couple receivers that you don't need.
Right.
Because, I mean, they probably take, you know, Michael Gallup doesn't need the start. They love Cole Beasley too much.
They do, man.
They love Cole Beasley too much. Like, Cole Beasley's fine. He had that one catch last year, but they love him. They love him like he was Dez.
Yes.
Dez has nowhere to go, by the way, too, which is crazy to think.
And like I said, and I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they bring him back, too, but I'm going to move on. I don't want to get too much. But shout out to Josh Gordon. Hope he does well.
Hey, he's a good receiver. He'll find a home.
So now, listen, Blake Bortles, Pats, Jags. I got to talk about it. Who is this Blake Bortles fellow all of a sudden, man?
This is the Blake Bortles that everyone made fun of like 2 to 3 years ago when the Jaguars were terrible and no one thought anything of them. And then all of a sudden, last year, the Jaguars do good. And everyone's like, oh, Saxonville. Oh, Leonard Fournette. And then Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson last year on his first catch got injured. First week, out.
So we got Blake Bortles, 29 for 45, 377 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. That sounds like Tom Brady numbers. They win 31-20, convincingly, I might add.
Oh, they didn't scrape it out. No, they took the lead like they did. If you look back at the AFC Championship game last year, the Jags took the lead, and the Patriots clawed back, and you're like, oh no, here we go. Tom Brady throwing all his weapons, Rex Burkhead, Chris Hogan, everything he can do. This year, this game.
Yes.
The Jags had that lead.
Yes.
And they held that lead. They held it. And the Pats came back. And they held it.
What do you think is your biggest... Okay, give me like your biggest takeaway. Do you think it was the aggression? Do you think it was like, okay, you know what? We were a game away. We were a quarter away from a Super Bowl. Do you think this game was a blip? Do you think it was a trend? What do you think it was?
I think it was definitely the intensity of knowing you want to win that rematch. Like, everyone takes a rematch like that, whether it's a Super Bowl rematch or two teams that play the Patriots, like the Eagles and the Falcons. You take that, you look, and you want to win. The Patriots won. They don't want to win as much. And they learn from their mistakes. The Jaguars, they came out early because they know they can. Wow. That's what they can do with their defense. And they Blake Bortles, well, he's not maybe an elite quarterback, he has this ability very similar to Aaron Rodgers to use everyone on the field. Right. He used guys like Keelan Cole, who made like the catch of the year.
Oh, speaking of that, David Bloom, like the lovely Breeze is gonna cue up this highlight for me.
Just take a look at this right here.
That's a nice segue, David Bloom. That's why he's on the show, y'all.
I come here for the segues.
Watch this, man. Goodness gracious.
Oh, my goodness. Safety down. One safety back in the middle. First and 15.
To stay in bounds.
Goodness. Get the 2 feet into control.
You gotta have that ball control. It can't be bobbling in the one hand. It can't be up, and you gotta control it.
Look at this. It's a beauty.
That's amazing. That's full extension. That's almost full extension.
And it's one of those things where you think the Jags, they said they would have receiver troubles and have a hard time like moving the football. And it's good to see that they might find another target that Bortles can throw to. The Jaguars are looking pretty serious, right?
They're looking serious because they're using what they have. Leonard Fournette went out, so they're using guys like TJ Yeldon.
Absolutely.
They're using what they have on the field.
Wow. So let me segue since you're
Chris Ivory.
Let me get to the listen. Okay, so now I'm gonna move to Ryan Fitzpatrick's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, I said it. Ryan Fitzpatrick's
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Jameis Winston, I'm telling you right now, you better be taking notes. I hope this is a learning experience for you. I don't know if it is, but I'm telling you right now, it is. Am I prematurely jumping on the Ryan Fitzpatrick bandwagon?
You might be. But it's
27, not. 27 for 33, 402 yards, 4 touchdowns in one pick. Is it too soon?
You might be, but it's not for the reasons you think. It's not because Ryan Fitzpatrick out of nowhere is just going to decline and just stop being who he is right now, this like Nick Foles-esque kind of guy. It's because when Jameis gets back, the Bucs are going to take a look at their team. They know their run game with guys like Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones, Jaquizz Rodgers isn't enough, and they're going to want to go back to that mobile quarterback they picked over Mariota, and they're going to take him out. They're going to take out Fitzpatrick, and they're going to go with Jameis, and it's Fitzpatrick's winning them games. Jameis is going to start losing them games. And they're going to be like, well, I mean, we can't not go with Jameis Winston. It's how teams work.
So, okay, so this sounds, that's, damn, I don't even have a rebuttal. No,
listen. Fitzpatrick's good, though. Like, he's proven his case.
Oh, I was playing devil's advocate. You're right about that. Okay, so let's say this. What if they're like 4-0 and when he come back? Still the same result? You don't think there's any change?
If Ryan Fitzpatrick can take them 4-0, I think they give him a game. I really think the Bucs are experimental enough to give him a game. Mm-hmm. They are using DeSean Jackson like he's a wide receiver one. And DeSean Jackson, if y'all know, he's kind of out of his prime a little bit, but he's not playing like it.
Like out of his prime-ish?
I don't even know if prime applies to DeSean Jackson.
He's still burning people though, Bloom.
He's been doing that for years.
Gosh, he's still got some wheels. But speaking of Ryan Fitzpatrick, even though he's on borrowed time, I want to cut to this interview because he's having a good time.
He's a character.
Oh, if you guys didn't see this, it's awesome. Watch Fitz.
I got like 2 more because D-Jack needs his stuff back.
He's wearing DeSean Jackson's clothes after the win, y'all.
Wait a minute, you mean
I borrowed your stuff. Sorry. Yeah, I borrowed your stuff. Sorry, DeSean.
They're buddies. They have a connection.
You gotta love it, man.
The chest hair is mine.
You see, so he's having a good time. I think he's just enjoying the moment. I think he feels he is a backup, but he's enjoying the moment at this time. And 27-21, the Bucks over the Eagles. Before we get into Sunday Night Football, I did want to talk to you a little bit about like ties in the NFL.
Ooh, don't even get me started.
It's something that's been ruffling my feathers, David Bloom. And I told you, I'm not on the part of the rules or competition committee or anything like that. I'm just a humble guy that talks on that Buzz TV, David. But I just want to say, I don't think a tie in a professional grown-up game like the NFL, like as a soccer, it makes sense. You know, you get a point. You know what I mean? That point actually can come back and help you. NFL football ending in a tie after all that football. Do you agree or disagree?
No ties.
God,
No ties allowed. We've had two this year. One each week. And they've all been missed field goals. Because they're always missed field goals. All ties are usually just missed field goals. And two made back and forth made field goals.
Yes.
Vikings kicker missed two field goals. And Mason Crosby missed one too.
And that's that one's more shocking. But so here goes the question, okay? So everyone always said don't complain unless you have an answer. So what is your answer? Give me your answer to stop. Because they shortened the quarter. They didn't make the quarter longer. They shortened it.
Yeah, no, I think.
So what would your answer be if someone goes, David Bloom, since you all on your high horse, what should we do about these tie games since you have the answer?
Well, I direct them to every recent playoff game ever and say, hey, why don't you take a look at how, you know, all right, it's going to be crazy, but you know how the clock runs out at the first overtime?
Mm-hmm.
They do another one.
Hey.
And then they keep going until someone actually wins the game so we don't get 0-0-1 or 1-0-1 or 0-1-1.
Put this in your mind right now, regular season game for the playoffs, NBA getting down to the wire.
NBA does it?
And then let's say it ended in a tie. 20 more times. Imagine it being a tie. They just go, all right, guys, we'll see you next week.
All right, cool. 103-103. Bye. All right, we're done.
It's like unheard of. So I know, so I'm glad we're in agreement. Like I said, I don't know the answer. I think that's the best answer. Let's just play it out.
I mean, everyone's gonna say like, oh, blame the kickers for missing field goals. But like at a certain point, everyone's gonna eventually miss field goals. You saw a lot of it, I think, last year or 2 years ago, a Cardinals Seahawks game, they were missing field goals left and right. Two field goals missing the overtime period. A third one missed before the end, like the end of the fourth quarter. Field goals last. Zane Gonzalez, not this week yet. Last week, and Chris Boswell, botching field goals. This is how ties happen.
Absolutely.
But you can't play that all field goals are going to be made and that all teams are going to be able to score in what? How long is overtime?
It's 10 minutes now.
Should be 15.
It was 15. They just changed it. It used to be, it was 15, like, it was like a quarter, regular quarter.
Yeah, regular quarter.
Now it's 10 minutes.
It should be 15 and you play on. It shouldn't even be time for me.
I'm glad we agree. I just wanted to chop that up a little bit, man, getting into some other scores. 21-18 Saints over the Browns.
Yeah, there's Zane Gonzalez. I knew we'd come back to Zane Gonzalez. Browns kicker. So pretty much what happened was this was a low-scoring game at the half. Mm-hmm. It was about like 3-6 at the half, and the Browns were up.
Yes.
Saints had nothing going, and the Browns barely had anything going.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Brees wasn't getting a lot going, and Michael Thomas wasn't really getting in the flow of the game, and Tyrod was just trying to get anyone he could involved.
Yes.
And then they just started to heat up. Like, the Saints started to heat up. I think Michael Thomas had about two touchdowns, and then they went to Alvin Kamara like they always do. Even Mike Gillisley got involved. And then the Browns came back. Callaway had that from Tyrod Taylor. People don't appreciate the over-the-shoulder catch. You got to put it right in the breadbasket.
The breadbasket, brother.
You got no peripheral, and you got to look up here. What he did was he didn't even have a breadbasket. He had to catch it like this on the microphone, like that. And he did, and they scored. Then Gonzalez missed the extra point. So
it's
18-18. Saints come.
You already know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Will Lutz, field goal, sure. They get into field goal range. They have a great little, like, 20-yard play. Yeah. Go out of bounds. Tyrod throws it. They were about, like, 50 yards out, 40-something yards out. And I'm like, they got 7 seconds left on the clock or so. They should try to get a little bit more yards. I know they don't have any timeouts. Zane Gonzalez comes on. Last week, you remember, it was a tie because Zane missed that field goal. Constantly missing field goals. Comes on, botches it. I was sitting with my girlfriend. I looked at her. I'm like, he's missing this. I guarantee you 100% he's missing this. And it went wide right.
More important news, David Bloom going steady with somebody. Right?
I am.
Shout out to Bloom's girlfriend, y'all. Slight sidetrack, y'all. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, no, 5 months. 5 months. Yeah, since April.
5 months going
and
strong.
She's watching football the other day. The entire day. Shout out.
She's a keeper. Chargers and Bills. Chargers win 31-20. Phillip Rivers getting a little bit of groove. Oh my gosh. Listen, okay. Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh.
David Bloom. I'm getting so excited because it's week two. Six touchdowns? Am I too quick to anoint Patrick Mahomes?
You're not.
Because I'm anointing him.
You're not.
I don't know what I'm anointing him. I don't know if I'm anointing him like rookie of the second player. I don't know. I don't know anything right now, but 23 for 28, 326 yards and six touchdowns. What do you want me to? Against the Steelers. Steelers, everyone says they're in disarray, but they're still super talented.
No, they're talented. They got talent. They just don't really know. They're messing up. Everyone looks at me and like, what's wrong with the Steelers? And I'm like, they got I mean, I know Bell's on the holdout, but they had Bell, Brown, Juju. Like
they have weapons. Like they and they still were in this game. But what, so, what's your thought process when we get to Sunday Night Football on Pat Mahomes? Which, will you just tell me? Just give me. I don't know what you're thinking about.
Well, the first game I thought was a fluke because I thought it was Tyreek Hill. I thought, oh, he had that amazing game. The speed, he was really on it. And Patrick Mahomes would give him like short little in routes, mm-hmm. and Tyreek could take him to the house. I was wrong. Because this man is like an MLB pitcher. He reminds me of like Chris Sale out here, the way he's just slinging the ball.
Slinging it.
And he last week he didn't, but this week he used Travis Kelce. That's the thing. When people
come, that's scary.
It's scary because once you get probably top two tight end involved for two touchdowns, like 109 yards, that's when they start winning games. And he used Sammy Watkins. He's spreading the field. Mm. He's using everyone he can. Even Kareem Hunt's getting involved. Mm. He's mobile. And he has an arm, and everyone thought, oh, he's a rookie, but he reminds me so much of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, in all the good ways.
In all the good ways.
A nice young man, too. The thing about it is, so we all know the question, and we all know the question is playoffs, Chiefs, Andy Reid's team, when things get hot and heavy. It depends, though. This year, they might not be a wild card if things are still rolling. But let's say, so what do you think? Do you think they get over the hump this year?
I don't think they get over the hump. I think that's too much for Patrick Mahomes and that team and Andy Reid.
Yeah.
I think they can maybe get like bounced out of the first or second round like they always do, but it's the Chiefs. Eventually, what's going to happen is Alex Smith has had those type of years. Mm-hmm. They're going to implode somehow, some way, and Travis Kelce is going to be used more,
yes.
and so is Kareem Hunt. And Kareem Hunt, you saw last year, he was great the first couple of weeks. As the Chiefs had their little like implosion, they needed to go to him more, and he couldn't. He couldn't handle it. You know, he had a slump. He had a slump towards the end of the year, and everyone watching him and rooting for him didn't know what was going on.
Wow.
Because that's just how they needed him to work, and he couldn't work. He couldn't handle the workload, and I don't think he's going to be able to handle it this year, and I don't think Patrick Mahomes is. That team's going to implode, but they always start off well. I give him a lot of credit.
Cool. Moving on, I'll go to the Texans versus the Titans. Titans pull out a close one, 20-17. Panthers, Falcons, 31-24. The Falcons, Lions, 49ers, 30-27. Go the Jimmy Garoppolo and them. So my thought,
good.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. So what are you thinking about Jimmy G? You can't win them all. I think he's in the right hands. He needs lumps. I think the Lions are a perfect bounce back game for him.
They are. The Lions are, what are they, 0-2 now?
Shambles, man.
Wow. Matthew Stafford's nothing right now.
Shambles.
Really isn't anything.
And then I'm hearing there's dissension in the ranks with the coach and Matt Patricia's Lord. Being like a stick in the mud. And it's like,
and the running back situation is so terrible.
It is.
Because, you know, they want to go to like Theoretic. And then like, oh, we got to use Kerryon Johnson as much as possible. Golden Tate and Marvin Jones Jr., they're just, it's ugly there.
It's bad, right?
It's really bad. And like, I think that Jimmy G is actually the real deal.
Oh, he is, man.
He's so the real deal. You saw it last year. You saw it even against the Vikings. Yeah. He looked nice.
That was the game. That was the game I was like, okay, now this is football because the Vikings get after everybody. They just do. Like, they have holes and you see like, well, A-Rod, you know, he's greatest of all time. So it's kind of hard to, it's kind of hard for me to like, say, we picked them apart. Well, he picks everybody apart. But, like, the way Jimmy was hanging in the pocket against the Minnesota, I go, well, he's the real deal.
No, he was holding his own against Minnesota, and that's really hard.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen there's not a lot of quarterbacks that can do that. They can hold their own against Minnesota.
Yeah, they're going to make a lot of quarterbacks look foolish this year. That's what they do.
That's their defense. That's the Everson Griffiths, like, Harrison Smith defense.
Wow.
They love doing that. And they're such a force to be reckoned with in the NFC. And the thing is, I mean, they had, you know, the game with the Packers. They tied 29-29. The Packers were up most of that game.
Yes.
And they came back. Kirk Cousins had one of the most, I'm a Packers fan, but
yes, I'm glad you mentioned my guy's name, man. Kirk.
Such a sweet pass right between two defenders to,
That one was nasty.
I'm talking that one where he caught it right
when he backed right into the end zone.
Oh, that's pretty.
Listen, Kirk Cousins knows a nice little ball.
We
know. I can feel it. It's already coming. You can tell it could come down to that game in Minnesota for the division.
Oh,
like the rematch. You can just feel it. It's like coming to a head. Who knows? Who knows how things are going to shape out? I already know that Detroit's going to be at the bottom of the division.
They will. Chicago's not going to be. Mitch Trubisky isn't enough.
It's going to be those two at the top. We'll see. Might be a wild card team coming out of the North. So
I could see it. Yeah, you never know. It's a stronger. The NFC North is stronger than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Because you got the Packers who, if Aaron Rodgers knock on every piece of wood possible stays healthy. And you know they got guys like Graham and Aaron Rodgers. Like I said it before, he can use any wide receiver on the field.
Oh, yeah, I'm a firm believer right now. I put the pads and helmet on. He can get me for about like a 25-yard seam
route. He could. He can hit guys like used to have Jeff Janis. He can hit Geronimo Allison.
He like, yo, Evan, I got you on the slant route.
Oh, it's everyone. Just get a little open. A little open to catch. He had Jared Cook like 2 years ago for a sideline catch. That's Jared Cook. And he made him do that. But the thing is, you got that team who's looking nice. I'm a fan, so I'm appreciative. You got the Vikings who, I mean, they had Case Keenum last year and they were like the top. So now that they have an actual Kirk Cousins who's pretty good.
He's tough too, man.
He's a tough guy.
That's my thing about Kirk. People are like, why you like Kirk so much? There's many reasons why, because I think he got dealt a real deal in Washington. I'm not saying money wise, but I mean just respect wise.
No. They never loved him for what he was in Washington.
People don't understand that guy, he stares down the barrel of the gun and takes hits. That's what I mean by toughness. I've watched him get licked and get up all the time.
Did he hit from Clay Matthews? Oh my God.
He gets right back up.
Right back up.
Takes the turf out of his helmet and keeps it going. But let me move on before I get all hot and bothered over Kirk Cousins. That's my guy, man. Rams are still looking good. 34-0 against the Cardinals.
Can we talk about quickly, though, like before you get into it, where is Greg Zuerlein?
I don't know. We were talking about this off air that they like Sean McVay just woke up with like 2-point conversion.
I mean, I might be missing something. Is he hurt? Can someone let me know if he's hurt? Because I didn't really see an injury report.
I don't know.
Is Johnny Hecker a field goal kicker now?
I didn't know that would be news. I would have done more research because I just assumed and he would be there.
I assume he's one of the best kickers in the entire NFL. And they went for 2-3 times. And they got it all, but I think like maybe one touchdown they had an extra point.
Zuerlein,
oh my God.
We got to see right here, man. We can bring you on, man. You can sit right next to Bloom, man, talk sports with us. If they don't want to.
Hey,
come
on, man.
We want some kicking.
Crack the leg. We can use you.
Some kicking analysis. Broncos, a close victory over the Raiders.
Oh, it's 1 point.
Case Keenum's looking pretty good. He started off a little sluggish, but I like when things work out for teams that make trades. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I like when there's just winners, not just winners and losers. Like the Broncos look like they made a good, they did a little discount. They didn't want to pay for Kirk. They got Case.
No, he was good. He's good.
They're doing all right. So now before we going to wrap it up, we're going to end with the prime time game. I want to give y'all the main course. One of my favorite games ever since I was a kid, the Cowboys and the Giants. Prime time, Sunday night football. What is your first initial thoughts? Of course, the Cowboys winning 20-13. But give me your thoughts on the game, Boom.
Well, I mean, it was just it. In every sense of the words, it was very Cowboys-Giants. It was very much these two teams going head-to-head. You see a lot of times with rivalries, it's very Smash Mouth. Like, they're both going against each other, and it's gritty, and it's a lot of defensive attitude, and it's anyone who can get a chance to shine. Guys like Tavon Austin going off for a huge touchdown, they will shine.
That was good for him, though, because I know he's been getting a lot of flack for being, like, not that kind of guy and, like, how he couldn't get it done in L.A. as a Ram and St. Louis as a Ram. Like, I like that they opened up with that.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's smart to use him in the run game, too. Like, they know he can run, but they know he can catch, too. So they're like, okay, we'll give you some handoffs.
Right.
And, I mean, I know that makes a lot of Rams fans mad when they want to see Todd Gurley get as many touches as possible when Tavon was getting a lot of touches. And I know that makes Dallas fans mad when they don't see Zeke getting the ball. But he's so speedy.
He is.
He's so speedy, and that's why he's one of those. He acts like a speed back. He can go on the outside, maybe like a little end around versus Ezekiel Elliott, who is he's a power back with speed.
Downhill runner, yeah. Mm-hmm. But still has a lot of speed, though.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you thinking right now? Giants are 0-2. I don't know if you're a numbers guy. I don't know if you're a percentage guy. They say 90% of teams that go 0-2, they don't make the playoffs, yada, yada, yada. Do you think that affects the Giants? Do the Giants bounce back? Are they a wild card team? Or just no?
I think they got to get their skill players involved. Because the Giants, when it comes to the skill players, they got everything right there. Saquon Barkley, he had a tough game, but he's looking nice. Mm-hmm. Like, he's actually looking like a lot of potential. Odell's Odell.
Always going to do
Sterling Shepard's not half bad, and Evan Ingram's not half bad. I mean, Saquon Barkley's better than Orleans Darkwa. He wasn't horrible, but he wasn't what they need. They don't have the quarterback. Eli Manning's not doing it for them, and everyone's thinking, oh, they should have taken Sam Darnold. No, they shouldn't have. Saquon Barkley's a perfect pick, but
yeah,
Eli's not doing it.
Yeah, so that's. I'm glad you brought that up because they're saying because of Eli doing bad, they could have whiffed on Sam Darnold. That's an interesting argument. So let's say they wanted to go quarterback, Boom. What would you have done? Would you have just taken Saquon and trusted like a young buck in the later rounds, or would you have gotten Sam Darnold though? What if he does end up being like a 13-year, 14-year pro and he's not too shabby? Like, do you think that the Giants will regret that?
I mean, they could. It just depends. If depends if the Jets use him well, and if they like him, and if he's doing good things for them. And the Giants could look and they could say, man, we should have got that. And the Jets could look and say, man, we're rocking with Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell. Like, we should have gotten Saquon Barkley. I mean, they couldn't have it, but it's
but
like,
I know, but it's looking both ways. And it's one of those things where he came back down to earth a little bit today.
He did.
You know, he was, he's 76% passing last week, 61% passing.
Everyone
this
has
week.
Those breakout games week one.
People
never
freaking
judge the NFL,
out, dude.
Never judge the NFL in week one, ever. I always say that it's a fluke week. It's for players just to go crazy. It's for players like Will Disley to get 16 fantasy points. That's how it works. Like, don't ever judge it on week one, but week two. If someone shows up again in week two, like James Conner's not doing too bad, Fitzpatrick, then you can judge them as actual players, as actual real star athletes. And, I mean, Saquon Barkley, Sam Darnold, they're not showing up now like they showed up last week, right. And it's really disappointing for New York football fans.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, he was thrown into the fire, and Saquon, you run between the tackles, you get the hole, but they know they're going to stack the box against him. And everyone thought it'd be so wide open for him because of OBJ, but it's becoming a little difficult because I don't know what's going on with that line. Like, the Cowboys, their defense is pretty underrated, bro.
It is, and they have one of the best, both offensively and defensively, lines in the entire NFL.
That defensive line's pretty stout,
they don't allow a lot of running yards.
Like,
they don't
13 points, but it was like kind of like garbage points, man. It was like a rushed touchdown, and then garbage time, and then a field goal at the end that didn't mean anything. Like, 20-13 is really misleading.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not 20-13. It's like 20-10, maybe like 3.
Yeah, it was like so. Give me your thoughts on the flip side. Give me your thoughts about the Cowboys. Now they're 1-1. They played a tough game against Carolina. Carolina's gonna make a lot of people look stupid, you know. And it was only 16-8. You know, like, the Cowboys are maybe you're not as bad as everyone thinks. They always get the most press, and everyone acts like it's, you know, it's Chicken Little, that the sky is falling. So what are your thoughts on, give me the ceiling of the Cowboys.
My ceiling. Well, I think at the ceiling for the Cowboys, I think they can be maybe a top wildcard team. Maybe win in that first round, go to that second round, maybe get knocked out then. I don't think they're going to be the Cowboys of 2 years ago, when they went 13-3, like something like that. And then Ezekiel Elliott was just, everyone's like, oh my God.
1,600 yards, bro.
Oh my, let him eat. And Dak was like, just one of the best rookies in the entire NFL.
16 touchdowns, I think like 4 picks.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things because they stacked the box, Bloom. When they stacked that box, and Zeke's like, oh man, this ain't, because in Ohio State, I had a whole lot of holes there, man.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm all about Zeke. Everyone, he's an elite. I don't know why everyone thinks he's the best running back in the league.
Oh, he's not, though.
I think he lives in LA. I really do. I think, listen, I like Bell, man, but Bell ain't on the field, man. If it ain't Gurley, I don't know who it is, man.
Yeah, no, Todd, shout outs to Todd Gurley.
Yo, Todd Gurley is a
He can get a lot of shout outs. He helped me win my fantasy league last
year.
You
see?
So, like, a lot of shout outs to Todd Gurley.
It's not just because I'm in LA either. It's not because I haven't even seen him live yet. Each day, he jumps off my screen.
Oh, he's insane to see live.
He's special, man.
Oh, he's wonderful.
I love to watch him. So, coming to an end on that. It was a pretty good game. It was a smash mouth football game. You in a typical NFC East game.
It's so typical of those two teams. And, you know, you could throw the Redskins in there and the Eagles. Like, it's going to be the same type of game with all those teams. And it's just, I mean, everyone can look at the Cowboys and they can think, oh, they're 1-1. They pulled out a nice win, but they pulled out a nice win. Not even a nice win. They pulled out a tough win against the Giants. The Cowboys are not the real deal right now because they do not have a receiving core. I can't explain that enough, how Michael Gallup and Tavon Austin, and they love Cole Beasley, and Allen Hurns is not going to get the job done with a guy like Dak. If you had Aaron Rodgers in that system, he could flourish because he can bring out the best in anyone, but Dak's not going to. Dak reminds me of the same sort of energy of a Russell Wilson or a Cam Newton. They want him to be like that. And he's not. I think Deshaun Watson, honestly, is a better number four than Dak is.
That's very tough, because I'm telling you, Russell Wilson, boy, I tell you what. Because if you want to know the makeup of Russell Wilson, like, a lesser quarterback after that interception in the Super Bowl would have crumbled psychologically. That'd be, like, career-defining. Like, Russell's, I know everyone's trying to. They see a guy that's 5'10", they just swear, man. A little bit of mobility. Man, Russ is made of special stuff.
He is.
And I love that. That's a good, I like those good old wholesome Southern kids that play football, and he's a tough kid. And he pulled out a tough-fought victory. He's getting a lot of criticism, a lot of flack. Didn't have that many yards, 160, 170 yards a day passing, but he did enough to win, and that, to me, that's all you can really ask for. and at the end, the grand scheme of things. But I want to close up tonight since we all wrapped up football in a nice little bow. Oh, next week's game, Patriots versus Lions. We'll be here for that. But I want to get into David Bloom's fantasy football, man. Listen, if y'all didn't know, man, I brought him on. David's like a fantasy football savant. He's like a guru. He's like a connoisseur. He could give you a couple facts and stuff about football players and help you out in your fantasy. Give me. First of all, how'd you do this week? Second of all, talk to me. I'm losing by 10 right now.
Really?
And he has Russell, and so I'm about to lose.
Well, I just want to say, if a man by the name of Jonathan Adam Harris is watching this broadcast right now, just enjoy that. Just enjoy me dropping 131 points on you.
Did you just call him out by name?
Just enjoy that.
You came on here and just go to
Just enjoy it. I know where you live.
Jonathan, do not let him besmirch your good name, man. Come, listen, message the show.
Right now, it's second week. I'm 1-1. I took a bad loss last week because the reason why I lost, I'm going to tell you why, is because Travis Kelce didn't perform and Chris Hogan didn't perform. I dropped about 90 points. My opponent had Todd. He had Drew Brees. It was crazy. This week, my opponent scored like 120. Mm. That's third most points in the entire league versus the other guy I played last week, dropped 124 again. I was down about 40. I'm not lying. I was down 40. 40 points going into the second half of the games, going to the early part of the later games. I went all the way back, and it was because of a couple guys. First thing I'm going to say first, if you have Chris Hogan on your team, give him one more week and sell high. Because Chris Hogan goes like this. He goes up, straight, and down. You saw it last week. He always has that bad week one.
Yes.
He got, in my league, I know I do. I don't do PPR. I do non-PPR, decimals. He got 16 points, yes. About 17 points. Sell high. Give him one more week to perform. Sell high. Get someone you know can be more consistent. Guys like Antonio Brown, don't freak out. He's fine. He had a tough week because Big Ben was going to Juju Smith-Schuster. Who, if you have Juju Smith-Schuster, be thankful.
I tried to get him, man. They took him from me, man. I'm trying to...
Okay, my opponent had him. Keep him.
Gosh.
Big Ben, fluke week.
Yeah.
Fluke week.
Yeah.
Don't start him. He dropped like 30, 40 points. Don't start him. Big Ben was terrible. Patrick Mahomes. If you benched him this week, start him. Start him and keep him.
Yes.
Do not trade him. But you want to, and don't freak out. I'm going to say this. Don't freak out about the rookie running backs.
Yes.
Don't freak out about Kareem Hunt that he's not putting up like 20 points a game. And don't freak out about Dalvin Cook that he's not putting up the numbers. They will. Dalvin Cook's coming off injury, and Kareem Hunt is coming off of a slump. Let them get back to it, and they will. I'm going to shift it over quickly to something I saw in the Titans area. Mm-hmm. Get Deion Lewis on your team. Deion Lewis last year, the Patriots, how they work, they got like guys like Rex Burkhead this year. They got Sony. They had Mike Gillisley last year, James White, and they had Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis is a great passing back. He's a speed back and go on the outsides, and Derrick Henry is not doing what he needs to do.
Wow.
Go get yourself Deion Lewis while you can. Lord, and do something about Greg Zuerlein.
There you go. Yo, listen, Greg.
He's on your team. Go do something. Figure it out. And I mean, I would say just if you're looking for any sort of wideout,
yes,
to use, and I've said this before, if you just need a quick little wideout, go get yourself any Packers wideout. Randall Cobb, Geronimo Allison, if you have Devontae, thank God. And I'm gonna say one more, I'm gonna give you one more guy to go get.
One more.
I know Melvin Gordon's great. I'm going to pronounce this guy's name wrong, but Austin Eckler.
That's his name. That's how you say his name.
Go get him.
I'm picking him up.
Right now.
I'm picking him up as soon as we get off here because I'm trying out something new here. If you guys like it, tell me in the chat. I want David Bloom to give us a little bit of advice. He is really good at fantasy football. He's like the champion of the champions.
If you want some credentials real quick, first year I think I had 2 losses, third place. Second year I went 14-2 championship.
Listen, you hear this man.
I'm a quick story. They need a quick story. I think they need a quick story. All right, picture this. I am down 14 points, right? I'm down 13. I need 14 to win.
Good Lord.
I need 14 to win, right? I got DeMarco Murray. He's got T.Y. In the last game, they're playing each other. T.Y. gets 1 point, and DeMarco gets about like 15. I win by 1 point. If you don't trust me, you better trust me because I am the comeback king.
You hear him? So listen, get at him. Listen.
And that's not my first. Listen,
guys, oh man, Michael Rippey will be back next week, but David Bloom is here to stay. This is my man right here. This is the sports guru. You hear this man dropping knowledge, fantasy football, but I'm going to get up out of here, y'all. I'm going to see you guys next week. We're going to talk about a whole lot more football, man, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. With that being said, I am Evan T. Mack. You can find me that on Twitter and Instagram. Holla at your boy, David Bloom. Put yourself over, young man.
Hey, David H. Bloom, Instagram, Twitter. Go Pack Go.
Y'all take care, man. Yo, shout out to Aaron Rodgers, my man.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.